Good morning, everybody. So nice to have you here on the week after the Resurrection Day. What a weekend we had together, and we're excited about it. Greeted many of you again. Please, we want to get to know you and your names, and there's ways for you to get involved and serve, and we'll keep those before you, but thank you for being here today. Well, we're in week four of this series, I believe, it's based on the Apostles' Creed, but I'm going to extend it one more week. I felt like on the topic of the Holy Spirit, I felt like I needed to go 2 weeks, so we're going to do it one today and one next Sunday, Lord willing, and then we'll be into our next series of several weeks about 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, so you might go ahead and start reading through those books regularly, and all of us as a team will be sharing those messages, and that'll be over a number of weeks, I think about 9 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. Don't hold me to that. Somewhere in that range. All right. Well, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, but I want to go through the fourth section of the Apostles' Creed, and I want to explain it before we stand and recite it out loud, those of us who can and care to. So the last section has been controversial in ages past, but I just want to tell you what we've done in looking and researching this series. We've gone back to the most ancient, what we feel is the most accurate. There's various terms that are substituted now to bring it up to date, but I want to explain this last section, beginning with, I believe in the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to recite it together, okay? So here we are, the phrases, I believe in the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit lives within us. That's good news, great news. That's what we're going to go into in depth today. And then it says, the Holy Catholic Church. This is not a religion. It's not a denomination. It means, or do your homework, all believers across all times and places, globally and eternally. Got that? Some say universal, that could have denominational attractions now, attachments as well, but again, it's not about that. It's about the church universal worldwide. And then the phrase communion of the saints, this is all believers, not just an elite group. I mean, we could call each other Saint Joel or Saint Lisa, that would be appropriate. You know, we don't have to be dead and gone to be termed saint, sold out to Jesus. We share life and fellowship right now and with believers throughout history. You know, the great cloud of witnesses, et cetera, all. We are spiritually connected and we are interdependent. In other words, 1 Corinthians 12 says, one body but many parts. Agreed? What part are you? You are one. Fulfill your role. And then forgiveness of sins. Through Jesus Christ, our sins are, this is good news, forgiven, removed, and remembered no more. As far as the east is from the west, buried in the sea of God's forgetfulness. We are no longer defined by our past, no matter what our past has been. We are redeemed, we are made new, we can receive and we can extend forgiveness. Why? Because of his great love. The resurrection of the body. Christian hope is both spiritual and physical. It's eternal. Just as Jesus was raised, we too will one day be raised to life. Death is a doorway, not the end. As I often say, this is not all there is. Let's live like it. The last phrase, the life everlasting. Eternal life is unending, full, and forever with God. The future is secured in Christ. And don't overlook the amen part, or amen, or oh me, whatever you say traditionally. So be it. This is true. This is truth. That's why we confess it together. So let me summarize that. Because of God's Spirit within us, living within us, the family around us, surrounding us, forgiveness, God's grace behind us, and the resurrection before us, we can face this day with confidence, and we can face eternity with hope. Does anybody believe that's good news? Yes. All right, if you can, if you care to, would you stand and let's give our attention to the screen and remember I've been chiding you and reminding you that let's not read at monotone and blah. Let's emphasize the words together as we read, beginning with the first part. Here we go. You ready? All right. We can always do it again if we don't get it right the first time. I've learned from great teachers that repetitiveness is a very good thing. Repeat it over and over again. Here we go. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And everybody said with gusto, amen. So be it. This is truth. You may be seated. You may be seated. So there we have it. I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ. He rose again. That was last week. And today, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I want to zero in on that. Three things that I want to remind you about because that's true. So as I've observed over the years, and I've been doing this a long time, hanging around for a long time, many believers are really pretty strong on the Father and the Son, but a lot of us are very weak on the Holy Spirit. We don't kind of get it, and so we just push it aside or ignore him. But if you're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is not optional. The Holy Spirit is essential to our daily lives, the sealing, the keeping of our lives, the person, the purity, the power of the Holy Spirit. I should have run this by some of you bodybuilders here, like my friend Travis, who's one of my associate bodyguards down here. Don't mess with me. You'll have to answer to him. But I think this would be correct, and you can correct me so I can get it right next service, okay? But if you think about your physical body, if one muscle group is really strong and another is weak, eventually probably something's going to break down. I mean, you don't want to just like, man, you should see my left bicep. It's good. The rest of me is weak as all get out. But man, I have a good, you know? And matter of fact, when you start out with the knee injuries, not to when you get to a replacement, double replacement like I had, but when you first are injured and you usually go, what's the first thing you say? You need to go to physical therapy. Has anybody ever been told you need to go to physical therapy? And that's not, how many of you go, oh, brother, that's not a quick fix for me. It's a slow, painful process. But what they usually say is something like this. You've got this injury, maybe a ligament is damaged or what. So we're going to give you exercise. We're going to try to strengthen the muscles around it to make it stronger so there's better balance. Does that make sense? So we want balance. And when it comes to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we need the balance. And we can't leave the Holy Spirit out because if so, we'll be weak and we'll be without the power that's available. So I want you to think about that as we move through. So the Holy Spirit is not a force, as we hear in mystical things and movies. He is a person, not just a person. He is a person who is personal. He speaks, he leads, he comforts, he convicts, he guides, and on it goes. And you know why he does all this? Listen to this. This gives me goosebumps just reading it. He does all this because he cherishes a relationship with you. Who does? The Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? You are precious to him. We sang it as a kid. Everyone, they're precious in his sight, all the children of the world. He cherishes a relationship with you, and that's the office to grow that relationship of the Holy Spirit. Well, when I think about this, as we dive into three things I want to get to, I think about dwelling place. And for 8 years, we did a musical that kind of morphed. It started out the day, wore my crown, and ended up Wounded Healer. And one of the songs surrounding that, I don't think it was in that, but Kathy Frazil wrote a song called Dwelling Place. And that has great significance. Dwelling place. That for us in the work of the Holy Spirit. From the very beginning of the Bible, God always wanted to dwell with his people. Why? Because he loved his people. He cherishes that relationship. So we go back all the way to Garden of Eden, and you can read about it in Genesis, but what was God doing? He was walking and talking with Adam and Eve. He was really doing life with them. I mean, but the key is, he was with them, right? He was with them. The Bible doesn't say he was in them. The Bible said he was with them. God walked with them. Powerful, powerful truth. Then, I'll call it, there was a great interruption because sin entered the world. And how do you know when sin shows up, there's always a great interruption? There's a distance of breaking fellowship with God. Agreed? That's what separates us from God. Sin entered the world and everything changed then and thereafter. They were removed from the garden and they were banned from the garden. The closeness and intimacy that they were experiencing, walking and talking with God personally, was broken. Still, God wasn't done with his prized possession. And that's where this dwelling place comes about. So what did God do? He created a way to still be near his people. And the progression, if you go from the Bible from cover to cover, it goes from the tabernacle, the tent, the temple, a permanent structure, to Jesus. And now to us, his dwelling place. That's what you are. That's what we are. John 1:14, so the Word, capital W, became human and made his home among us. Don't you like that language? He made his home. I like it. I'm glad it didn't say he made his house among us. He made his home. I mean, there's a whole different context. A whole lot of us have houses, but not all of us have homes. He made his home, his dwelling place among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father, one and only Son, Jesus. But then, we know the story now, and being beyond Easter, Jesus died, and he rose again, and he ascended to heaven. So the question was, burning on hearts and minds, what now? What's next? Well, three things I want to bring into light about the Holy Spirit today. Very simple, but profound. The Holy Spirit, first of all, is living in you. And if he's living in you, because you're in relationship with him, that means he's working on you. How many know that's good? That means no matter what age you are, you can still get better. You can still grow spiritually. What we can't do physically anymore, we can surpass that and then some spiritually. You're not done growing. You're not done growing. Don't stop. Don't stop. Growth is life-giving. And then thirdly, he does that because he's moving through you. Let's expand those. First of all, he's living in you. I don't go 3 points all the time, but today I will. Some of you are so happy about that. You can take easy notes. 1 Corinthians, you think you've got problems. Just think of what they try to do up in the booth following me on my notes. Believe me, it tests their salvation and sanctification every single week. Here it goes. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you realize, in other words, wake up, pay attention, this is truth, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Whoa. We probably better take care of it. Who lives in you, no longer did it say with you, but in you, and was given to you by God. Given to you, gifted, free gifted to you, who would receive it. I love the last phrase at all. You do not belong to yourselves. You are not your own. The scripture says you are bought with a price. What was the price? The suffering of Jesus, the death of Jesus. We covered that in the last couple of weeks. Do you see how everything changes? You realize why this is so strong? You are right now the temple of the ever-living holy God. Let that sink in for a moment. The one who created all that is, the presence of God in the person of the Holy Spirit, is living in you if you have a yes to Jesus relationship and open your heart to him. He is now living in you. You are now to every day to be experiencing God, if you will. So this is the answer to Jesus coming and dying and rising from the dead and then leaving. He said, that's not the end. Remember this. Remember this. The Holy Spirit is living in you if your relationship in relation with God through Jesus Christ. Living in you. I want you to get that. I want you to get that. I want you to get that. That's why I say, why do you repeat so many things so many times? Because it becomes house language. It becomes something that we absorb. And that's why I caution you about praying these prayers we just throw it around. Oh, I pray you'd be with me. Be with me. Well, if you're a believer and the Holy Spirit is in you, he is in you. He's with you. How could he not be with you if he's in you? Does that make sense? But I've kind of edited that because I was thinking about it earlier this morning. I thought, well, I guess it would be okay to pray for our sons and daughters, our loved ones that are not believers. I guess that's okay to pray. Would you be with them? Because he's not in them. Do you understand that? Just because we're all created by God doesn't mean that we're related with him. That has to be a choice. Only then does the Holy Spirit come to live in us. Do you see the difference? But let's not throw that around. Oh, be with me, be with me. He's here. You know, it's like, I'm here. I'm here. Let me work. Let me work. All right, you're getting it. It's going to take another 6 months or a year, but I think in a while you're going to get it. So this in you business, that means anywhere you go, he goes. And you don't walk in any situation, any room alone. God walks in with you. And by the way, that's not just in the good times, and we don't believe that when you confess Jesus as Savior and Lord, that everything's going to be smooth. Sometimes it gets even rough. There's storms that come across the horizon, but you're never alone. He is with you, and he is with you in his suffering, and he identifies with our suffering. No matter where you may be today, if you're in a time of suffering, a season of suffering, he identifies with you. You are not alone. So when you step into and face a difficult day, you're never alone. And let me just give you some scenarios, like when you go to the doctor's office for a report, or you're in a treatment center, or you're facing an OR operating room, or when you're raising children and it seems one step backward or three steps backward and one step forward, when you're struggling with maybe sexual purity in this world, when you're battling an addiction or marital and relational family stress, or caring for aging parents, or struggling with anger and forgiveness, and the list goes on, or recovering. Losing a dear one that you've had all your life, I want to tell you, you are not alone. And the peace that passes all understanding can be there right in the middle of a waiting room, right in the middle of a storm. I've experienced it personally, and I've sat with thousands over the years who know what it's like to never be alone, though often very difficult, through difficult places. I was thinking about this scripture. I love it. I love Psalm 139 is a good one. I read it a lot and refer to it, but here's the verse 7. Listen to this. I can never, that's pretty definite, isn't it? I can never escape from your spirit, capital S. So how could you ever be alone if you can never escape from his spirit? I can never get away from your presence. If you're in Christ, he is in you. And I hope that if you're not, this will give you a desire to say, I want him to come. I want to be his dwelling place. I want to open up my heart and life to him. So I read that verse. Let me read it again. I can never escape you from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. So let me ask you a personal question. Is this a comforting reality, or is it a convicting reality? Like, oh, he was with me last night? Yep. Wherever you were, he was. If you're in him. Well, comforting or convicting, I think both of these are needed. They're both good. But whatever the situation, because he's always with you, because he's living in you, it changes everything. And that's why, as I often say from John 12:28a, your daily breath prayer, not just once a day, like take it once a day, like a vitamin or whatever, but your regular breath prayer throughout the day can be, Father, bring glory to your name. Because this is true, because you're not alone, no matter what circumstances you are facing. And it may be the roughest time now that you can give God more glory than you ever have in the middle of your suffering. If Jesus did it for us, can we do it for him? Wow, his presence is powerful. Well, I could go on, but his presence is with you through the ups and downs of daily living, and that's the way it is. I ate supper with some of my kids and grands last night, and they went around the table and they were talking about what was your up and what was your down today. And the reality is that Jesus is with us through it all, the ups and downs of life. And there's no spiritual level that's going to escape going through stuff for sure. Well, the second thing is this. If he's in you, he's working on you, and that's constant. Constant. And the spirit is always moving and talks about wind. So you think about the agitation. That's how clothes get clean, because you put them in the washer and they get agitated. We get agitated with people, and that's a growth opportunity, for example. You know what I'm saying? Because the Holy Spirit uses all things to work on us. Oh, yeah. He came in me once when I was 5 or 7 or 12. Yeah, okay. But are you allowing him to work on you? It's like deep cleaning, you know? And I mean, there's some stuff that's really stuck. I mean, there's some nasty stuff in there. But his spirit moving within us is constantly working on us, shaping us, growing us. Most likely through the things that we would never imagine that he can work through. But he can work through anything that's surrendered to him when we live that palms up. John 14, 16 gives us a heads up here. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. You can look up advocate, comforter, whatever it may be. Verse 17, who's the comforter? Who's the one always with you? He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. If he's leading you, that's not once upon a time. That means a constant progression. He's leading you in truth as you walk in truth. The world cannot receive him. That's a problem with our culture because it isn't looking for him, doesn't recognize him, doesn't have a clue, in other words. But you know him because he lives with you. Now and later will be in you. And this is obviously in the gospel still, but we'll refer to a scripture later about in us. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. I love that passage of scripture. Don't you? That's what he does. He comes to us. He came to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, where are you? He knew what they did. Where are you? He comes to us. The Holy Spirit is not just living in you, and that's huge. That's a start. But he's working on you, and that's why you are becoming. You haven't arrived. You're not there yet. We're not there yet. You're becoming. Becoming. Romans 8, 28 and 9, familiar to many, and we know God causes everything to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. That doesn't mean that life's going to be smooth. You just trust God that he's working through things you can't see and you can't hardly bear. That's at the end of the day when your head hits a pillow. That's your resting point. That's your peace. You know God is working. You trust him. That's a faith exercise. Not once upon a time daily. That's a faith declaration. God, I'm hurting. I don't understand. I know you're working. I entrust this to you tonight. I'm going to take the night off and get some sleep because I know you're staying up and you can handle it. Verse 29. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them, his people who have said yes to him, to become like his son. To become like his son. That's not an overnight thing. Forgiveness is instantaneous, but that growth process, surrender can be in an instant, but you spend the rest of your life surrendering to him so that the son would be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. What I'm trying to say is that, and I want to be practical in this section, when he's working on you, it comes up and out in our most unguarded moments, not in church, although some of you got tested trying to leave the parking lot last Sunday. Come on, just admit it. But it's going to show. I've never forgotten. I was revisiting this here recently. A long ago, I heard a youth speaker was really dynamic, and he's had his ups and downs but over the years, but he said some powerful things. And he said, and this is about the Holy Spirit in you and working on you. He said something like this: you know, so many times we come to church and we sing "Just As I Am." You know, Billy Graham's great time of invitation, "Just As I Am." That's good. And he said, then we come just as we are. But he said, the problem is we leave just as we were. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. When we encounter him, we are never the same. Doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we're done changing. It changes everything. It gives us a new direction. It gives us a new attitude. It leads to apologies and things like that in practical ways. I'll never forget another thing he said. I would harp about to my teens about this all the time. He would speak at huge youth conferences, and he said, he was a shocker. He'd come out, Italian guy. He'd come out and say, "Don't tell me you love Jesus." And these are basically Christian kids here. You know, they're shocked. They're, "What is this guy? He's a heretic." He said, "I hear the way you talk to your parents and disrespect them. I hear the way you talk to your siblings, your brothers and sisters. Don't tell me you love Jesus because it's not real. I'm not buying it." Whoa. As a youth pastor, I harped on that. And I got to tell you, when I saw my teenagers go deep with Jesus and surrender to him as Savior and Lord, I want to tell you, they became different kids at home, at school, in the locker room. They were different because they were convicted. Do we believe in Holy Spirit conviction around here? In other words, he'll say by his spirit and power, not to condemn us, don't confuse us. This is not okay. This is not how you represent me. That's not the way you talk to your wife or your husband or whoever it may be. Ooh, it just got quiet in here. I might as well share my misery, you know? The key is the Holy Spirit just isn't living in you. He's working on you. Why? Because he wants you to become like a son. Well, around our home, Dixie and I and Charlie, that's what our home is now, the three. Charlie Brown's our dog, by the way. If you've not met him, you should. And my kids are rolling their eyes right now. But at our home, it's not unusual, not our house, but our home, it's not unusual to misplace our iPhones. Yesterday, I was looking for it, and I was talking to Dixie at the time. Oh, my lands. I'm going to wear my name tag through the week so I can remember what my name is, you know? We were recently introduced to a wonderful tool that many of you used for a long time called Find My. Has anybody heard of that? This is so good. Would I remember to use it? After 30 minutes of searching futilely, when, not if, when Dixie and I can't find our phones, instead of asking, well, when was the last time you used it? Where did you leave it after you used it? Instead of asking that, now we can ping it. Have you ever pinged it? By the way, I've also learned as a side product, I can find my wife in the same way. She was on a bus trip to Lancaster, and so I was pinging, I was whatever, on the way home. And all, on the, somewhere it was on Benner Road or Yoder. I thought maybe they stopped off to visit some of our kids, but everything went dead. And I kept looking, and 40 minutes later, they were still at the same spot. Well, when she got home, she confessed that her phone had completely died, as well as her iPad. So I couldn't ping her anymore. So if you don't want to be found, let that baby go dead, and they'll never have a clue where you're going to be. But the Lord will know. But here's the key. Pastor, where are you going with this? The key to using Find My is this. You have to keep sending the signal, and you have to keep listening intently for the pinging sound in order to locate your device. In my simple way of thinking that helped teen remember over the years, this might be a way that the Holy Spirit works. We've got to stay connected, and we've got to stay sensitive, and we've got to keep listening. He is always speaking, so we need to tune in. Quit saying, or he's not saying, he's not talking. Just listen, for goodness sakes. So could I get practical with you? Create and keep connection. That's what is so key. That's the key. Somebody pointed out to the buffering stages we get in life. I hit on last week, you know, not go anywhere. That's usually connectivity problems. And sometimes with the Lord, that's the way it is too. So let me give you some practical things. This isn't the end all. But I just want to run through some things. Make it your practice and commitment to get up in the morning and open your Bible first thing, in whatever form you do. And have a reading plan. Because the book is Holy Spirit inspired and illuminated. And when you're getting in and that meets with the Holy Spirit who's in you, I mean, it comes alive. Have you heard this? Keep getting God's word in you, in you, in you, in you. Don't get into it. You get it in you. You getting into it's not going to change you. You getting it in you is going to change you. The second thing they have used in our basics class, and I've printed some of these up, and there's nothing new to many of you, but a little card that'll help you as you read your Bible. Ask questions while you're reading it. The best thing I've ever found is from Rick Warren years ago, and he made an acronym, Space Pets. You know, we can remember that. Space Pets, crazy. But he goes down, is there a sin to confess, a promise to claim, an attitude to change, a command to obey, an example to follow, a prayer to pray, an error to avoid, a truth to believe, or something to praise and thank God for? That'll make any single verse of the Bible come alive. Ask questions. I printed some of these up, or someone did who loves us, and they're on the Welcome Center, the Info Center, if you want to pick one up that will help you as a tool for your daily. Use that as it applies to Scripture. Find your prayer chair or your war room, if you remember that movie for Simon and God, but your God space, And not only read the Bible and pray there, but maybe take a good book and don't say, I just don't read. Just read a page or two or three. Just take it in small bites. I remember a friend of ours, Linda, from Indianapolis, when they designed a new house, she actually designed a God space, a prayer nook in their new house where she met with the Lord where the sun came in. It was a precious place. If we don't have a meeting place and time set up for the Lord, we won't get there. Just suggestion. When you pray, talk to God, just like you're talking to someone else, but listen for his response. Praise him for who he is. Thank him for what he's done. And ask questions like this. Look, what do you want to show me today? What needs to change in my life? How can I become more like Jesus today? Lift up people in your God space. When he places on your heart, it's not irreverent to just shoot a text to them and let you know you're thinking of them and you're praying for them right now. Go palms up by praying, Father, through my life today, bring glory to your name. I'm available. I'm all yours. Man, what an exciting day that can bring. So get up and go. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide and engage and enjoy the day the Lord has made. Live it as a sacrifice of praise, a genuine offering to the Lord. This day, this season, right now, not later, but now. Just some suggestions. Regular disciplines and routines in our life are deeply spiritual, and they'll help you live not in a comfort zone, but I'll call it a holy discomfort zone. That's where we need to live. That's when God working on us, that agitation. So next time you get agitated when on the way home and you're tempted to go road rage, just say, thank you, Lord, for living in holy discomfort. You're teaching me. You're growing me. I know none of you struggle with that. Keep asking, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to change? That's the posture of palms up living. All to Jesus I surrender. So I ask you, do you want to be comfortable or do you want to grow? I was thinking this morning, Gaither Music changed the face of music in the 60s and 70s and beyond, and they had that little kid song, He's Still Working on Me. Everybody remember that? Pull it up. Google the lyrics. Still true. Thirdly, not only is he living in you, not only is he working on you, but he wants to keep moving through you. Andre would sing, I can't keep it to myself. I got to tell somebody else. I'm going to let the world know Jesus saves. Jesus transforms. After Jesus suffered and was crucified and died, the disciples were a mess. Can you blame them? I mean, a week ago today, they weren't all that happy. And I'll bear that out scripture because they were confused. They were in shock. They thought they were going to be the next victims. And so where were they, these bold creatures? They were hidden behind locked doors and they were huddled up together. Might have been pretty quiet. John 20 speaks to it, verse 19. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid. Kind of refreshing when it just lays it out there. These people, champions, have been with Jesus for 3 years, night and day. They were afraid. Afraid of the Jewish leaders. Isn't that what it always is? I wish we'd have the reverence for God, a fear of God in a healthy way that we have of people. Suddenly, whoo, Jesus was standing there among them. Where was he? He didn't knock on the door. He wasn't outside. He was in the middle of them. And he said, of all things, peace be with you. As he spoke, after they got up off the floor from passing out, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And they'd never get over that. The disciples experienced what we call shock and awe. Practical, but peace was found in his presence. Good news, it still is. Not in the circumstances. There can be calm, in other words, even when the storm is raging. Even in our suffering with Christ. Verse 21. Again, with emphasis, Jesus said, peace be with you. I'd like to know how he said it. What words did he accent? I don't know. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, So I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Something changed from that point on, and there was to be a greater encounter in the upper room, but transformation began, and these same disciples that were locked down and huddled together, they ended up on the streets preaching boldly. What changed? The person and the power of the Holy Spirit that propelled them and compelled them into the living transformed mode. Do you realize how significant that is? Living transformed, we don't say, that's present tense active. There's genius in that. That means we're a work in progress. To do the work of God, you must have the power of the Holy Spirit present and active, or it's going to end up being more about you than about him. He does his work through us. So if you're a follower of Jesus, I want to say it again, the Holy Spirit is living in you right now. He's working on you right now, and he wants to keep moving through you from now until you draw your first breath in heaven. Refuse to hide and lock down and hunker down. Remember that you're the temple for the living God. You are now the visible presence of God in the world. You take him with you wherever you go. That's how he travels in the likes of you and me. So the admonition is to get up, to make a decision, to get out there, to go. You are the Holy Spirit's transport system. He goes where you go. He's looking for your participation and your surrender. Get immersed in what he's doing. The wind is blowing. Could I make a profound statement? The wind always blows. No blow, no wind. Aren't you glad you came for that? If there's a boat at sea and sails, if there's no wind, no motor, they're dead in the water. No wind blowing in and through us, we're dead in the water. Of good works, our best efforts. But the good news is, just as he breathed on them, he wants to breathe on you. Are you ready for that? Do you welcome that? Man, I could go through the list of all the powerless of things the Holy Spirit does. Read it. Comforting, encouraging, interceding, convicting, teaching, guiding, purifying, empowering. Closing. Are you daily aware that God lives in you? If you're not sure, then you've not said yes, you're not in relationship with him, and you need to take care of that. Yeah, that's all. That's all. Humble ourselves and say, yes, I am who you say I am. Without you, I'm lost in my sin. He lives in you today. But if you're not, you can connect with him, or you can reconnect with him and say, I surrender all. Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, lead me. I preach so much better when I have keys behind me. Could you make this final declaration with me as you stand today? If you can, would you stand? And I just want you to repeat after me, no screen. I believe in God the Father Almighty. We're saying this as a personal confession of faith, by the way, an affirmation of that. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son. I believe. He rose again. I believe in the Holy Spirit. He's living in me. He's working on me. He's moving through me. I am not alone or powerless. I am now his dwelling place. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. Let's live it. Father, thank you so much for the power of your word, for this ancient confession that has endured through the generations. May this be our affirmation of faith. I pray that those who are here that are saying, I have doubt because I don't feel connected. May they make that decision saying, Holy Spirit, I want you to live in me, and I need a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So I confess my sin, my brokenness, whatever. I humble myself and say, I need you. I turn from my sin. I'm turning toward you. Live in me. And I want to follow you every day of my life. And for some who are just, they're kind of wobbling and they're just drifting out there, and they're kind of buffering or sitting still and the wind doesn't seem to be blowing, may they reconnect today and say, Holy Spirit, flow through me, blow in me, agitate, stir me up, and cause me to grow, to hunger after you. And may this be our true confession that we live out, and may this have practical implications, you working on us, in going back, being the first to apologize, to make things right, to defer to others, whatever it may be, to receive forgiveness from you, from others, but also to grant it. But it's all by the power of your Holy Spirit. We can't work this up on our own. It's you living in us, working on us, and moving through us. And may you moving through us be a powerful example to a world who so needs to see genuine these days. And I pray it confidently and expectantly in the name of Jesus, our Savior, and Lord, and everyone said,